My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it is. It sure as heck is. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we're hanging out with you until noon. Right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Man, we got a lot to get into. Normally, we open with Kings. Mm-hmm. Right? That's typically just kind of the move. But we're going to switch it up today because it's NFL playoff time. Wild card weekend was a wild card weekend, quote unquote. And two games on Monday. A third of the games are on Monday.
It's pretty lame.
It's kind of whack.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not a fan of the like, it was Martin Luther King Day, his day off.
Yeah.
So it played from a football standpoint. It was kind of Sunday-ish, but
it lessened the blow a little bit. But yeah. It was kind of a bummer to see the game get canceled on, was it Sunday morning? The Sunday morning game, or was it Saturday?
Yeah, Sunday morning game.
Yeah, get pushed back because of snow. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you kind of expect that.
So, did you see the videos of the weather in Buffalo?
Oh yeah, I mean, did you see people trying to walk to their seats?
Yeah,
like just wild.
Well, that was yesterday.
Yes.
Did you see the videos from when they canceled it?
Yes. Yeah.
Like blizzard conditions.
Wild.
I understand why they didn't play football in it. I'm typically like, yeah, go play. Like, just I want all the bad weather. That was dangerous. So I'm glad they moved it back. You don't want thousands of people descending on one place and the weather looks like that.
I think for my
good call by the NFL.
My junior prom, we got out of prom and it was snowing like crazy. And I had to drive a girl to back home to like, she lived at like 4,500 feet of elevation.
Mm.
And I was, of course, like 16 or 17 driving my dad's truck in the snow in a complete whiteout where you couldn't see like 5 feet in front of you.
Hell yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
So I've been in that weather, but not like where it's like that, where it's so snow, where the snow is accumulating.
It's like a hurricane with snow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I've been where you can't say, you know, the only way you can see if someone's in front of you is if they have taillights on.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wild.
I'm glad I don't live in a place where it snows like that. So the 49ers divisional round opponent is set. They will host the Packers at 5:15 p.m. on Saturday. Let's start there. The Green Bay Packers were super impressive.
Yeah.
They put together a much better performance than I thought they would. I knew they were playing really well, but man, this is Jordan Love, first-year starter at quarterback, playing in his first playoff game. It's on the road. Dan Quinn, Cowboys defensive coordinator, has been really, really good all season. And the Packers just dismantled those dudes. Mike McCarthy stinks.
Yeah, he's got to go, Kyle.
Immediately. Post-haste.
I also, you know, Dak Prescott put, you know, like if Mike McCarthy's job is on the line, so should mine be. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
I don't want to put it on Dak just yet. He's had Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy as his two head coaches. I would like to see him with a real, actual NFL head coach. before I decide to punt Dak into the same portion of the sun that Mike McCarthy is going to land.
Okay. I mean, I get that, but the guy's 2-5 in his career in the postseason.
No doubt.
And he wasn't good.
He wasn't very good.
He wasn't good. So I don't know what to say. No. I mean, this is a train wreck in Dallas, and they keep having the same issue. So at what point do you say, hey, look, it doesn't matter who is offensive coordinator. There's only like a dozen guys who get to maybe eight guys that get to play with great offensive coordinators. The rest have to play with whoever.
Right.
And so I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence here with Dak joining Mike McCarthy on his way out the door.
Dak Prescott, I'm trying to get to his postseason game logs because I know his last couple haven't been great. So he was 41 of 60 for 403 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks against Green Bay, but a lot of that was stat padding in the second half. Green Bay, check this out. Green Bay had 37 first downs, which has only happened 8 other times in NFL history, regular season or postseason.
Wow.
The Cowboys are the first team to lose when having 37 or more first downs. They had 11 at halftime and then got 26 in the second half because it was just all trying to come back. So a lot of those stats don't matter to me.
Yeah.
Now, last year against San Francisco, he fell apart. 23 of 37 for 206 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks. But in Tampa Bay the week before, he was 25 of 33, 305 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, you go and you look at their 2017 loss to Green Bay. That was the one where Aaron Rodgers hit, what was their tight end's name? I forget his name, but he hit like his tight end at the end of the game on a sick throw down the sideline. Dak was really good in that game. 24 of 38, 302 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. But other than that, he's been pretty meh. So I'm not ready to, like I said, punt him just yet. But man, if you get another, if he lays another egg, where it's 3 playoff games in a row where he's just not nearly the quarterback he was in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's might
do you
be
think,
time.
Do you think they pull the ripcord here on McCarthy? You think they do?
Yeah. I don't know. Although Jason Garrett was there for a decade. So who knows? Who knows with Jerry Jones? If it's me, I the fact that McCarthy got a third season, so he was won 12 games in each of the last 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. So this was his 4th year. But he's won 12 games in each of the last 3 years, which is impressive, no doubt. But the solution this offseason was to fire Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator, and like Mike McCarthy take on the play calling. And in the biggest game of the year, which is what actually matters, that's the postseason, McCarthy and his offense fell behind 27-0. And his quarterback threw a pick 6.
Okay.
And McCarthy nearly had, before they scored that touchdown at the end of the half, they called a play with no timeouts with like 12 seconds left that was short of the goal line. And had it not been for a defensive penalty, they go into the half with no points.
Mm.
It's poor game management. It's just poor readiness. Like, they just don't look ready to play. And I know that that's easy for me to say as somebody sitting there eating popcorn on my couch. But, I mean, Green Bay looked like a team. It looked like varsity versus JV.
Yeah.
And that to me, you look up and down the roster, that's not a Cowboys roster problem. For me, that's a coaching problem. Like, I think you give the Cowboys to Pete Carroll or, I mean, even Mike Vrabel, I think you get a much better version of the Cowboys.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I would like to see what happens here. I mean, it's intriguing, but again, he doesn't like to pull the trigger here on his coaches. And
I know.
He needs to.
I agree.
To his own detriment. I mean, he's running out of these. It's not like he gets to go do this. He doesn't get to live forever.
Yeah. Yeah, so does he ride it out or does he start hitting the panic button and trying to find that Super Bowl winning formula? Did you see the stat that the Texans, since their first season in 2002, have more playoff wins than the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's tough.
Yikes. All 3 teams that I thought were the real threats to the Niners in the NFC.
Gone.
Are gone.
Gone.
So we sat here a lot and talked about, hey, the Rams are playing well.
I didn't like, I mean, I was never sold on the Rams, but I get it. Mm-hmm. And I do think the offensively with Kyren Williams are good. You know, Puka's been amazing all season long. Mm-hmm. He was spectacular.
Really good.
Holy cow, he was good. Mm-hmm. That was a heck of a football game.
It was the only good one of the weekend.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game. So many
of those games turned into background noise.
Yeah.
I was doing stuff around the house.
Yeah, I mean, I may or may not have gone to Sonoma for the weekend and watched, you know, I watched, but
no,
like on
sure.
my phone somewhere.
Yeah. Like, well, and that's the beauty of how some of those games went. I was like, all right. Well, this one's over.
Yeah.
Kind of know how this one's going to go. Yeah. The Packers were the only upset of the weekend. Yeah, 7-2, first 7 seed to ever win. Yeah, the Cowboys were another team. It's like, if you're the Niners, I don't know if you want to, like, you've beaten the Cowboys, but do you want to see them again for the third time in 3 years in the playoffs? And if you did, it would be the NFC title game. Like, that's a tough matchup. The Eagles, what are they going to look like in the playoffs?
Yeesh. Man, I think the Niners fully broke the Eagles.
It feels like it.
Yeah. I mean, what a collapse. And, you know, they're sitting there, like, making excuses going to pregame. Oh, he's got a dislocated finger from, like, a week ago. It's like, okay, like, look, either he plays or he doesn't. And right. then he threw that dart down the field that was just gorgeous. Like,
yeah.
Okay, man. Like, his finger's fine.
Yeah, Hurts was, I thought Hurts was pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, it just weren't
really
good enough.
Yeah, they're missing A.J. Brown, and it's very clear there's something wrong with that team.
Yeah, something broke, and yeah. that's where you're like, oh, are they going to make a change as well? Like, this yeah. is an interesting couple of weeks here. There's a lot of head coach vacancies already,
mm-hmm.
and there could be a bunch more, which is wild.
Jim Harbaugh's already interviewing for jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Belichick. That was weird. The Falcons last night tweeting, we have completed our interview with Bill Belichick. Wild, dude. Like, not that he interviewed with the Falcons. I think it was Ramsey called in last week and was like, hey, does this fit? It's like, yeah, no, it kind of makes sense to me. But I only know Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Patriots.
Mm.
And he's had so much success because his first year there, I think I was 9 years old. So this is my first like real like conscious watching of football.
Yeah.
And it's just been Bill Belichick. And the Patriots have been awesome. And now Bill Belichick like interviewing for other jobs. Like he's just some generic ass head coach. That's so weird to me.
It's almost like he should be able to just walk in the door and say, hey, I've decided I'm going to be your head coach.
Right.
And
yes.
so you just fire the guy.
No, it's exactly.
Like, hey, we're sorry, Kyle Shanahan. You're going to have to leave. Bill Belichick showed up and he said he wants your job. And so we gave it to him and like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, take care, man.
Take care.
Yeah, like, no, I just
on the flip side.
somebody made the joke on the Falcons tweet that like, they were like, no, sweetie, Bill Belichick interviewed you.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably how that's probably going to go whenever he interviews. It's just so bizarre seeing Bill Belichick, who is without question the greatest NFL head coach of all time.
Yeah.
He is on the Mount Rushmore and in the Washington spot comfortably.
Yes.
And he's just interviewing for jobs like he's just Bobby Slowick, the Texans offensive coordinator, also interviews for jobs. Like they're not on the same plane.
I would love it if like
weird
they only interviewed great coaches. So like the Falcons, it's like Pete Carroll's coming in next.
Yeah.
And they just keep bringing in like legends of the game to like interview for the coaching job, and then it goes to like the guy you just
Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, Bobby Slowick. We're like, Wait, we settled on slow? what's happening here?
Like, oh, God.
That's when people are like, oh, is the owner cheap? Like, right. What happened here?
Or did they just not want to coach the Falcons?
Yeah, it's very possible that they don't. They looked at their quarterback stable and went,
That's what's weird about Atlanta is they're so loaded offensively.
Yeah.
But they got questions on defense. They got questions at quarterback. Like, they might be a couple years away from winning. So. Mm. We'll see how that plays out. Any NFL coaching news, we will have it for you. We'll also have any NBA trade rumors, NBA trade deadline, scuttlebutt murmurs, I believe is our word last week. We'll have all that for you right here on ESPN 1320, both myself and James here on the Insiders, and then D'Lo and KC, of course, will stay on top of that as well. Let's dive into the Sacramento Kings weekend. A couple of losses for them. Which one was worse, the blowout in Philly or the overtime loss to Milwaukee? We will break all of that down next on the Insiders. He's James, I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
This is one of those questions that, you know, it's like MJ versus LeBron, okay. Right? Like, it's just one of those never-ending things. There's never that debate is going to rage as long as there's basketball, right? Or until another player comes along who is in the discussion, and then. One of those personal questions for me is whether I would have my favorite team lose in a blowout or lose on like a buzzer beater or a last second field goal or a bottom of the ninth home run or a walk-off home run. Like, I always let that clang around in my head because my answer changes depending on the day. And so the Kings embodied that perfectly this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, they play the 76ers, and they got smoked. There was never really close. Never a spot in that game where you're going, oh man, they might do this.
No.
The Sixers were just better. But then you get a couple nights later, you get a game in Milwaukee where, all right, hey, tie it in the final seconds. De'Aaron finishes over Giannis. Incredible bucket. You're going to OT. You go up 6 in OT. Oh, you trick it. Dame hits the buzzer beater. It's like, God, it's brutal. And so for me, I look at that and I go, man, I would so much rather lose the way they lost in Philly, where they just, you could chalk it up to, nah, not their night. Versus you look at the game against Milwaukee and you go, man, if you play 20% better defense on Dame at the end, or if you have, if you make a free throw.
Yeah.
Like, it's all these like little things that could easily go your way that don't. And it ends in a loss. That's tough.
Okay, so Kyle, if I were a player, I think the Philly game, you just like, you wash right out, you know, you forget about, you just move on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bucks game is a game where you really, really take it to heart because, mm-hmm. again, De'Aaron Fox and missed one free throw right at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But at 18 seconds, Malik Monk missed a pair and like totally uncharacteristic. Malik Monk took to Twitter and apologized. Yeah. He apologized to Sacramento fans. This particular team, I normally would say, yeah, one blowout game here and there, that's fine.
Mm.
But this particular team, I'm done with the blowout losses.
Like, even to Philly?
Like, stand up. No, like, okay, yeah, they get blown out to Philly without Joel Embiid, and then they take the Bucks to the wire. They lose in overtime. The Bucks are a great team. Philly's a great team. The Bucks are ahead of the Sixers in the standings. So if you can do it one night, you can do it another night. And for me, this team way too often just mentally is not prepared to play and get stomped. So at this point, I would much prefer that they start showing that they're learning how to win again.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that you can beat the Pistons or Charlotte. But, you know, again, they've also beat the Nuggets, they've beat the Timberwolves, they've beat the Lakers, they've beat, you know, all of these, the Thunder, they beat them twice, you know, they've already beat the Suns twice.
Mm.
The fact that you can beat those teams, the Western Conference teams, that's one thing, but I would have liked to have seen a win against a really, really good Eastern Conference opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, I think they walked out of that game saying, okay, maybe we are good enough.
Yeah.
Maybe we can hang. Maybe we are one Kevin Huerter hot shooting night away from being legitimately back to who we were.
Yep.
And so I'm okay with the loss, and I hope it stinks because you know what? This team is a horrible free throw shooting team, Kyle.
They're very bad.
De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, they're the worst. Get in the gym and hit your free throws. If you got to talk to somebody, talk to somebody. But the fact that you can't hit free throws is a huge problem. Those guys right there both are underperforming so badly. They're the two best they go to the line more than anyone else on the team. And they can't hit their free throws. I mean, Fox is shooting what, 73%? Sabonis is shooting in the 60s? That's not good enough. If you want to be a great team, then do the basics. That's a basic of NBA basketball. So, yeah, you're going to lose games where you don't hit your free throws. And when you're 30th in the league in free throws, free throw percentage, hey, look, you're going to lose close games.
Yep.
That's part of growing up and being a good team is being able to take business, take care of business in those situations. So the second Dame let that ball, it came off his hand. I think everybody watching went, oh, well, they lost that one.
Yeah.
You didn't even defend him. You didn't even step up.
Yeah.
I mean, like Sabonis stood back maybe 3 feet above the three-point line as a secondary defender.
Yeah.
Man, that's Damian Lillard. You got to pick him up at half court.
This is not new. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That was wild to me that not only did he get a clean look, but, you know, like, look, you deserve to lose that game. You gave that game away. Should have been up six with 18 seconds left. Ball game.
And that's especially brutal because you look at the West right now. The Clippers are a game and two games up on the Kings.
Yeah.
And then the Kings right now are effectively tied with Dallas and Portland. New Orleans, not Portland. Dallas and New Orleans. And New Orleans is a seven seed. So every single game that is there for the taking, especially against a good Eastern Conference team, like you have to go get that one.
Yeah.
And that really stinks. I think a silver lining from that game is that you mentioned Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's so clear that not everything that's gone wrong with the Kings this year is because of Kevin Huerter. I'm not putting that all on one player. But it is so clear when you go, man, what's wrong with the Kings offense? It's like, man, you got a guy who's a career 40%+ three-point shooter shooting at like sub 35%.
Yeah.
And when he is connecting, it changes the gravity of their offense. Now all of a sudden the Bucks are scrambling as he runs off his screen. Now other things are open and he's knocking down threes. If he has a normal 2-for-9 kind of night, they lose that game away.
Oh yeah.
So I think so much hinges on what they're getting out of that shooting guard position. And I think it just kind of underscores everything we've talked about going into the trade deadline. It's like, if you know for a fact you're getting that version of Kevin Huerter night in and night out, where he's, and he scored 26 points and had 10 boards. I'm not asking for 26 and 10 from Kevin Huerter every night. But just how effective he was.
Well, it's just how engaged he was. Yes. Like the 10 rebounds, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the fact that Harrison Barnes, I think, had one rebound again. Like, it stands out. Like, there has to be a way to get these things for a player like him to get something done. Like, realistically, I had him as one of my six quick thoughts. I had Harrison. And the only reason he was in there is because I didn't want to go back and erase him and put in Trey Lyles. It was too late in the game. Mm-hmm. Trey Lyles deserved to, like, well, to be in the six quick thoughts way before Harrison Barnes. You know, he ended up with 5 or 6 rebounds, you know, 9 points, but he was a guy in crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you're starting to rely on. So
they should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing. I feel like nothing bad ever happens when Trey Lyles is on the court. I know that's probably not the case, but anecdotally, in my head, Trey Lyles is on the court, just good stuff happens, man.
I also think that right now you're seeing the same thing out of Trey Lyles. Out of Alex Lynn. Every time Alex Lynn is in the game, like you feel really good about what's happening. I don't know why, because I mean, like not to like, Alex Lynn is who he is. The fact is, he's always in the right position. You're like, boy, Alex Lynn is literally in the right position at all times.
I think it's because the Kings are so wobbly this year, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Like, they're better than they were at this point last year, record-wise, but it's a lot less consistent. It's a lot less stable, right? When Trey Lyles comes in, it feels stable. When Alex Lynn is in the game, it feels more stable.
Yeah.
And again, maybe that's just me and how I'm... confirming my own biases or whatever, but that's really how it feels when those two guys in particular are on the court. Harrison Barnes, not so much.
I think it really stood out when I every week I do my week in review on the Kings beat, right? And so when I'm doing my week in review, I go through and I recap every game just to make sure that everyone remembers what happened. Every single game this week and probably the week before, there were four players. Every single game except for when Huerter stepped up in Milwaukee. But all I talk about is Sabonis, Fox, Murray, and Monk. That's it. They're like the four horsemen of the apocalypse riding through wherever the Kings go.
Sure.
They're the guys.
Yeah.
these other players have to make some sort of impact in a game.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be scoring a bunch of points, but it has to be some sort of impact. And I think Trey Lyles, Alex Lynn. Alex Lynn has like a 129 offensive rating and a 110 defensive rating. He's like a plus 19 on this, like net rating at this point. He's been incredible all season long. Anytime he plays, I mean, he did have the long stretch where he's out with the ankle injury, but even before that, he had started to play and doing the same exact thing where he's making an impact. So, yeah, Mike Brown's got a lot of tinkering to do, and I'm okay with the tinkering. I know some fans are like, oh, his rotations are horrible. No, they're not.
Yeah, he's figuring it out.
His rotations are great. He's just trying to find guys that want to play that night.
Mm-hmm.
And most nights he's finding like a huge void. How many times has, in the last like 2 weeks, has he had a shooting guard score above 20? And it's the one time out of Kevin Huerter. How many times do they even score in double figures?
Almost never.
How many times do they combine for double figures? That's where Mike's at, and it's tough.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of Kevin Huerter, he's going to be our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. Now, we got a fun little wrinkle to this.
Oh?
When you enter to win at ESPN1320.com, and you're going to enter the code word headband.
Oh.
Yeah, headband. One word. H-E-A-D-B-A-N-D. That's going to be your code word. That qualifies you to not only win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, you'll also have a chance to win a Kings jersey. Courtesy of Jiffy Lube. That's right. Jiffy Lube bought some Kings jerseys and they said, hey, we're giving these away.
Excellent.
So you're not only entering to win that $100 gift certificate, you're also entering to win a Kings jersey. So do that now at ESPN1320.com. You'll see the Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. A brand new logo, fresh look. It looks great. You click on that. Shout out to Megan in promotions. You click on that. You enter the code word headband, all one word, H-E-A-D-B-A-N-D. Enter to win that $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and a Sacramento Kings jersey courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
We love Jiffy Lube.
We got, we're giving away, what do we know? Like one a month?
One a month.
One a month for the next four months?
Winner will be drawn at the end of the month, save for the April one, which will be drawn at the end of the season.
Oh.
End of the regular season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So go do that right now at ESPN1320.com. Code word is headband because Kevin Huerter is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for Friday. We will tell you who Sunday's is a little bit later on in the show. All right, more Kings, more football, plenty coming up on the Insiders on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Quick correction. That Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game was for Sunday.
Sunday.
Kevin Herter was our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game for Sunday. We will tell you Friday's winner a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Code word still works, though.
Yep.
Headband.
There we go.
Is your code word. $100 gift certificate and a chance to win a Kings jersey.
Kings jersey.
That's big time. Shout out to our friends at Jiffy Lube.
I need to go check out. Do we have the Kings jerseys in here yet, or are they not here
I don't
yet?
Believe they are in the building just yet.
Okay.
But I have not confirmed that.
Okay. Yeah, neither have I, so we'll have to go see what's going on.
Hey, what'd you think about Mike Brown's presser the other night where he called out the officials after getting ejected? But he didn't really call out the officials, and this is why I thought it was great. In the post-game presser, because I went through to watch it because I was going to like do a tweet where I said a quote and said, this is going to cost Mike Brown X amount of dollars.
Yep.
But I went back through and watched it, and all he did was explain why he got ejected. Like, he was showing specifically the calls he disagreed with. And then he explained that he was getting the wrong messaging on whether you had to have two hands up or whether the forearm could be down for verticality. And he explained all that. He's going to probably get fined. But I was trying to find like a specific quote of like, oh yeah, that's the money quote. That's going to get him. That's going to make the league mad.
Well,
and I never found it.
First of all, I find it interesting that as of right now, he has not been fined, because usually by this point, you would have already seen it, right? We would have already seen a fine come through for him. Mm-hmm. It's been over 24 hours. But the reason why I think that Mike will get fined, there's a potential not only for a fine, but Kyle, in all honesty, I think there's potential for a suspension, like a one-game suspension, is because in his haste to berate the official, he ran out on the court, and while play was in the middle of a play, and ran into Pat Connaughton, which is not okay.
Right.
Because Mike Brown became an obstacle that, again, Connaughton wasn't looking for. He was racing down court looking back.
Yeah, you can't have your coach setting screens.
Yeah, you can't have your coach inadvertently injure a player either.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that happened, but at some point, like, you know, Mike lost his cool, but stepping on the court and doing what he did, like, he ended up making a dangerous play. Now, I agree 100% with his post-game, issues.
Yeah.
I went back and looked. The two-minute report had no errors in the overtime, no errors in regulation. So the officials in the two-minute report look like they're clean. But the play that Mike was super upset about, it started with the overturn of a Malik Monk drive to the basket, where it was clear that Brook Lopez had an arm out.
And it was not vertical.
They said he didn't extend it. It doesn't matter. He still had an arm in the chest and one up. And then he got pushed over because his arm was out and he fell forward. Right. Well, to review that and to change the ruling when the rule is very clear that it's got to be both hands vertical and that Domantas Sabonis gets called for it all the time.
Right.
It's super clear. It's what the Kings teach. The two hands, the verticality at the rim. Right. We hear Mike Brown talk about it all the time. Malik Monk, verticality at the rim. Trey Lyles, verticality at the rim. It's two hands up, going straight up, and defending the rim, right?
This with the forearm out is a foul 100% of the time.
Yes. And so for them to overturn a call, which, again, just so you know, that call goes to Sekakis. That's reviewed at corporate.
Right.
For them to come back and change a call like that is egregious. It's absolutely really horrible. And then his other point, anytime you lay a finger on Damian Lillard, it's not a foul. It's not a foul unless you're pushing and unless you basically draw him off his line. Mm-hmm. You push him off his line. De'Aaron Fox got called. They gave Damian Lillard three free throws while he had barely had a hand on a hip that made no incidental contact.
Right.
Then you go down to the other end, and he absolutely gets like crushed from Cameron Payne. Cameron Payne hooks him, drags him, ball goes up in the air. They don't call anything. It's a turnover. It's a live ball turnover. The problem the NBA has is that an NBA coach can't throw a red flag.
Right.
Like, we have flags here. They don't have flags there because the only way that you can question an official is if he makes a call on a play. You cannot question calls that he should have made a call on.
Right.
Which is the stupidest thing of all time.
Crazy.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So, to me, I get Mike Brown's frustration. He could have handled himself better on the court. I'm totally fine with him losing his mind and getting thrown out of the game. Mm-hmm. Just don't make it a safety issue on the court.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I'm totally fine. And then for him to pull out the laptop.
That was great.
Man, it was smooth.
Really good.
It was really, really, really good. And for him to sit there and show the plays and explain why the plays should have been called with, like, there's
always coaching.
Yeah, yeah. I totally love it. And then for Steve Kerr to come out,
really funny,
and ask for the laptop.
On that, so the Warriors lost to some version of the Grizzlies that featured like 9 players I've never heard of. They lost 116-107 yesterday in Memphis. Memphis shot, let me see real quick. They shot 50 three-pointers and 40 free throws.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't
How many
bananas?
Times did they, against bad players? Like,
yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, like, not to call all these guys out, but like...
The Warriors shot 10 free throws.
it feels like every game, though, every single day, we get an alert as to which Memphis Grizzly is out like 2 to 6 weeks.
We should have played a game where I had 2 Memphis Grizzlies and a lie.
Oh, yeah.
Here are some of the players who played big minutes for the Grizzlies last night. Vince Williams Jr.
Mm.
He went 3 for 6 from 3, 6 of 11 from the field. Jaren Jackson, obviously. 3 of 14 from 3 from Triple J, by the way. Fraud. Luke Kennard started. Xavier Tillman started. Okay. Zaire Williams, I like Zaire Williams, started. Gregory Jackson II.
Greg.
Obviously. Greg Jackson II. 5 of 8 from 3. 23 points.
Making Greg Jackson I very proud.
Definitely is. Excuse me. David Roddy. Yep. Saw 21 minutes.
That's rough.
Something named Jacob Gilliard. Went 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. 4 of 7 from the floor.
You sent that to me, and what did I respond with?
Ooh.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, that was the bit. Okay, I wasn't.
You missed that.
I wasn't. Well, it was like a Jake Gyllenhaal crying, and I thought it was like a. I thought I couldn't tell if he was crying or laughing.
From Brokeback.
So got it. Okay, and then a Santi Aldama obviously played.
Okay,
17 minutes. That was
Aldama usually plays for them.
Yeah,
Xavier Tillman is like part of the back end of the rotation, but he's
if
been
Xavier Tillman is playing 30 minutes for your team, you have a problem. And they won that game.
You know what it is? It's like when Eric Paschal played 25 to 30 minutes for the Warriors and was out of the league 2 years later.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that those guys can't play. They're hoopers.
Yeah.
But if that's who you're running out there, you're not going to be a very good team.
Right.
Unfortunately.
The long-term viability of that is not strong.
No. It's not. If those guys are like your third big, your fourth big, fifth big off the, you know, that type of guy, you're fine.
Yeah.
But when they're thrust into starting roles or playing 20 plus minutes, you're usually in trouble.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. Not the way to go. But yeah, so Steve Kerr after the game, after the Grizzlies shot 40 free throws to the Warriors 10, he says to Raymond Ritter, the PR guy,
yep.
He goes, "Hey, Raymond, can you give me that laptop real quick?"
Yeah. The legendary great. Raymond Ritter, the best media director in all of the NBA.
He's very good.
He wins the Brian McIntyre Award almost every year, which goes to the best PR team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's spectacular, man. Like, when I'm on my way down to cover a Kings-Warriors game, calls me every single time, checks in, gives me their entire injury report. It's a phone call, not a text.
Yeah.
Shoots the breeze for a few minutes. We catch up. Hey, have a good game. See you later on tonight.
Yep.
Like, the best of the best.
Great guy. Yeah. Yep. Shout out to Raymond Ritter. So yeah, I loved that Mike Brown did that. I'm a little bit upset that we didn't get a
this is completely BS
kind of rant, but I respect it. I respect that he, like I said, this is Mike Brown. This dude wants to coach all the time. And so he went, "Here we go. Here is exactly what I'm looking at."
Yep.
And that's helpful. Because you hear a lot of, even the Raptors coach.
It's a complete crap.
didn't have like specific examples. He just said, we shot this many free throws, they shot this many. Scotty Barnes goes to the rim, no calls. Mike Brown went, nope, here is very specifically what I'm upset at.
Yeah, let me show you, because it's an interpretation of the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, straight up, there is no interpretation of that rule.
Yeah, like, this isn't past interference where it's like, oh, were they hand fighting? Was that a grab? Was he playing the ball? It's not any of that.
Yeah.
It's a two hands straight up. That's verticality.
Yes.
One hand over and another hand down is not.
No.
That's a foul every time.
Every time.
And they overturn.
They overturn it. I mean, that's the biggest
thing.
They
said it wasn't like a foul.
If they would have missed a call. If they would have missed a call and right. we, like, or if they would have called Monk for an offensive call, right, an offensive foul right there, mm-hmm. and then you would have gone back and reviewed it, you would have expected that to get overturned every single step of the way.
Right.
But for them to not be able to do that and for it to play out like that, absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? It's big. Like, those are big moments in a game. Mm-hmm. And then again, how does De'Aaron Fox, who had a much better game, he's coming around, yeah, slowly coming around. He had a much better game, 31 points, 5 assists, something like that. For him to not get a call where Cameron Payne is literally fighting through a screen and hooking him and a turnover, a straight up turnover off of a foul like that, just to me, really, really bad.
It's I hate saying outrageous, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
And he's straight up holding his arm as he runs around the screen. That's an easy call.
There was also a play where Malik Monk claimed that the ball wasn't off him out of bounds late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Brown wanted to review it, but the officials gave the ball to the Bucks really quickly and let them inbound the ball within like a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that got under Mike Brown's skin as well.
Yeah. That's
there was plenty of weirdness. I don't know.
I don't know if
not great.
I don't know if weird if we just have more access now via television replays and high def and the way they can slow things down and zoom in with super high clarity so you can see if the ball went off somebody's fingertip or whatever. Like, there's so many different little things that we can see now, or if officiating is getting worse. I can't.
Okay, so in the NBA specifically, I'm going to say that the officiating has gotten considerably worse, that the NBA during the pandemic lost a solid group of officials and coming out of, like, guys have retired and you know, it's mm-hmm. not an easy job. They've lost a lot of officials. So a lot of time you're going out there with a young crew. And then some of the guys who have developed, you know, like who've come into the league, they come in thinking that they're Joey Crawford, you know? And mm-hmm. it's like, look, man, Joey Crawford spent years cultivating a personality. You know, he watched
right.
the Naked Gun at least 47 times to figure out how Leslie Nielsen calls, you know, strikes somebody out.
Yeah.
Before he had crafted who he was going to be as an official, his dances, all that stuff.
Right.
He's one of one. Like, nobody else does that.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, guys come into the league with these big, like, egos, and next thing you know, they're throwing people out all over the place. Like, it's not good. Like, you, like, there are people who have written now. I think Tom Haberstroh has written on the officials. There's one guy who threw out Jokic and threw out a couple of, he hasn't been given, he's been given one playoff assignment in 17 years.
And he's still an official.
So the league doesn't have faith in him to call a playoff game, but regular season, okay. And then he does something
that's
like
so wild.
Throw out a two-time MVP who's never been thrown out before. Or you know, maybe he has, but it's been like very, very sparingly.
And wasn't it on like Serbian night?
Oh, it was.
In Chicago?
Serbian Heritage Night.
Yeah. And he threw him out for talking?
Oh, yeah.
It feels like there's a new level of friction, specifically in the NBA, between players and officials.
I also think that part of it is...
it's very adversarial.
It is, but I think a lot of it is that a lot of the stars are aging. And the new stars, they want that. They want what the old stars got. Mm-hmm. But, like, De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento is still not getting star calls. He's never going to get star calls.
Mm-hmm.
That Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland is not going to get star calls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of your star-level players now are playing in smaller markets. And that's a problem because I just don't think that the league is ready for that. They don't know how to, like...
I don't know. Maybe just officiate the game.
Maybe just call it straight up, Kyle.
Right.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. You know what else I hate, just while we're here, while we're complaining about officials? Yeah. You know what else I hate? Is the not going to blow the whistle until I see whether the shot goes in or not. There was the first time I became like really acutely aware of this was the like I knew it happened because it's very obvious. You can see when like a guy goes in, there's contact and his shot bounces off the rim a couple times, and then it falls off, whistle. It's like, okay, it looks like a ref explicitly said after a Warriors-Pelicans playoff game, the one where Curry hit the three in the corner back in 2015 in New Orleans, and he just got hammered when he shot it, the ref said after the game, if he had missed, we would have blown the whistle.
Oh.
And like, what? You openly admit that? That's just a thing? Like, either blow the whistle or don't. I feel like because there's so much access now that refs know that they're being scrutinized so heavily, and so it puts this like added weight or pressure on when to call, when to make a call, when to not make a call. And I think it just ties them in knots. Like, it's a hard game to officiate. And honestly, when in doubt, swallow the whistle, man. Like, less fouls is better than more fouls.
I get that, but again, we had this situation in the Bucks game where De'Aaron Fox went up for a three-pointer and was clearly hit on the arm.
Yes.
The ball comes up 5 feet short. And the guy was nowhere near a blocking the shot.
Yeah.
And to miss that, but to call the hand on the hip every single time on Damian Lillard, it's like, come on, man. Like, just call the game fair. Just call. Right. And I think that's, at the end of the day, what Mike is asking for.
Yes.
Just number one, abide by your own rules. Don't make up rules for yourself. Like, if Giannis Antetokounmpo bull rushes Domantas Sabonis, and Sabonis is holding his ground, and Giannis comes up and pops him in the face with an elbow.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, don't call a defensive foul, which they did. Mike has to challenge it. That, number one, it wastes his challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's wrong, which unfortunately for Mike Brown, he might be one of the worst challenging coaches that I've ever seen.
He feels like he challenges from emotion a lot.
Yeah, way too often do they get a challenge wrong.
Yeah.
So he challenges it. They win the challenge, but it's called a common foul. Like, you elbow a player in the face, it's a flagrant foul. Like,
mm-hmm.
call it straight up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. And I know it wasn't a clear, he's trying to injure a player. But if you have to go back and see video evidence, which they did, and mm-hmm. you see that he clocks your dude in the face with an elbow, it's a flagrant foul.
It should be.
It is. It's a flagrant. So call it accordingly.
Yeah.
I mean, I just really...
The frustrating thing beyond that is you go back to the De'Aaron play, the three where he got hit on the arm.
Oh yeah,
if he was following through and it was hand in hand contact on the follow through, and that's a no call. Like, okay,
yeah.
But when the shot comes up that short, I don't understand as an official how something doesn't go off in your brain and go, oh man, okay, there was contact there and that shot was way short. That was obviously a foul. But the problem is okay, maybe the ref didn't see it. Just genuinely didn't see it, and that's mm-hmm. fine. The problem is, and the problem I have, and I think the problem you have, and I think the problem that Mike Brown has, is if you reverse the roles there, because I'm pretty sure it was Dame that hit him. If you reverse those roles, and it's De'Aaron closing out on
every
Damian Lillard.
Single time.
That is a whistle, and they're not even thinking twice about it.
Every
whether they saw it or
time.
Not. And that's the frustration.
Well, that, and I assume the official doesn't know that De'Aaron Fox is shooting 39% from three.
That shouldn't matter though. That could be me. That could be me shooting that three. And if I get hacked on the arm, it is a foul.
Yep.
Call it.
Yep.
So I'm typically on the side of less fouls are better than more, or fewer fouls is better than more. But I mean that mostly in the like touch foul variety, the hand incidental contact on the hip while Damian Lillard shooting a three-pointer, for example.
Yeah.
Like, man, not everything has to be a whistle. And if you've got a question, just let them play.
Yeah.
I would so much rather that than see a 40-10 free throw discrepancy. Or what was it that the Raptors coach was complaining about?
Oh, it was bad.
23-2 or whatever, 22-2 In the final quarter?
Yeah, in the final quarter. It was something egregious like that.
You know what it was?
It's a complete crap.
That's exactly what it was.
I totally agree with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a complete crap.
Fewer fouls always.
Now, Kyle, in the NFL, I do think that replay and everything else has played a huge role in specifically how the goal line is called. Because I just remember, like, either you got in or you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like every single one is like a Zapruder film, and we're like watching, like, except for it's not grainy. We would know exactly who spit on who. Like the way that it's like we're watching
Seinfeld
every angle.
Reference,
like,
nice, dude.
Like there are, you can see like a blade of grass touches his knee as a ball is like a quarter of an inch away from the goal line. Nope, that's not. It's not a touchdown.
And it's so crazy that in the NFL they still spot the ball the way they do with refs just kind of like, nah, it's about here. Like in tennis, we've got it down to like where a hair on the tennis ball or a fuzz from the tennis ball is on the line, so it's in. And in the NFL, they're just like, ah.
What's even worse, Kyle, is the guy is running in from the side. Like,
yeah.
And he's jumping over players and he's like ducking and he's like, by the time he gets there, he takes the ball and he definitively puts it down. You're like, well, that's crazy, bro. I don't know how you know exactly where you are on the field at this point, or but how do you know where that ball is?
Or where, this is my favorite one, when they set it down and then they kind of look and then move it back half an inch. Like, how do you know? How do you have any idea? You're guessing.
Measure twice, cut once. I don't know.
I don't either. NFL, my problem is the NBA, it's so hard. It's because there's so much flow to the game, right?
Yes.
And so even if you were to say, hey, we're going to challenge, we're going to be able to review everything. Okay, De'Aaron thought he got hit on the arm. There's no way there's no stoppage in play where you can go look at that. There will be a stoppage eventually, but you can't then go look and go, okay, hang on, give him free throws. We got to reset. That's just, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL, there's stoppages after every play. It's so easy to have a person watching on TV. It can be some guy named Dale drinking a Budweiser with a replay where he goes, yeah, he's in, or nah, it's not a catch. And just call down to the refs and be like, hey, you got it wrong.
Yeah.
While the teams are... You don't even have to stop anything. And it would be so, so easy with a very minor investment in terms of what the NFL is doing. And I think it would make the product so much better.
I don't know how they don't have some sort of tracker in the ball to know exactly where it goes, where it is.
Again, that to me is... That's expensive. Expensive, quote unquote. That's going to cost the league some amount of money. And then you have to equip the stadiums, which I'm with you, dude. Just do that and make that investment. You're going to make tens of billions of dollars this year.
You can't put an air tag on that thing so we know exactly where it is. Just air tag it.
The new eyeball.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I'm with you, man. It's just in the scope of what the NFL makes, it would be such a minor investment to make the product 50 times better. By eliminating some of the trash calls, by eliminating bad spots, by eliminating the waiting 2.5 minutes while they sit there and look and go, was he in? Was he not? Like, nah, man, get me the chip and the ball. How far did the ball go? Did it get over the line? Yes. Cool. VAR technology. We're in there.
Yes.
You don't have to sit there and take 2 minutes to guess. And by the way, the NFL also used to have like a 90-second timer on reviews.
Not anymore.
They need to re-implement that because it's clear and conclusive. If it's not done in 90 seconds, it is neither clear nor conclusive. You're done.
You know what, Kyle? In our next segment, we should talk about Major League Baseball.
Robot umps!
The umpiring in Major League Baseball.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL when we come back. Was this the best possible weekend for the 49ers? And we'll look, just a quick look ahead to some of the divisional matchups. We'll dig in more later in the week, but let's look at how the dust has settled on Wildcard Weekend. We've also got more Kings coming up right here on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.